Liked you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Better With Glasses podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Zalia, and with me today is a very special co-host. We have Ashlyn here.
Hello, friends. I'm Ashlyn, and I'm a fellow Team Bonrad fan. Huge fan of Vicky and the Better With Glasses podcast. So I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on. So for this very special bonus episode, I just had to get Ashlyn on here for a few reasons, but I guess kicking this thing off, like, so we didn't know each other, right?
Before this
whole podcast thing.
Definitely not. And I'm not a big Instagram user unless it's like for my business. So as soon as this show launched, of course, I was all over Instagram about it because this obsession or hyperfixation, as you will, of this cast and this show, I'm like, I wanted to be like anonymous about it. Like I was kind of like, I'm 30 years old and I don't think I can post about this and feel okay.
Yeah.
But I stumbled upon the podcast after season one released. Mm-hmm. And I'm a wedding photographer, so I listened to a lot of podcasts. And I was like, I wonder if someone started a podcast. And I can't remember the exact messages that started it. I mean, we talk like almost every day now. Not almost. I think it is every day, whether it's hi, hope you have a great work day, or if it's have you seen this post from Chris Lola today. We're always talking. But I can't remember the exact message, but I do remember like being like, oh my gosh, she's married in her 30s too. Like I can relate, you know?
So I was going to say, like, that's one of the best parts, I think, about running the podcast was, I mean, obviously, being obsessed with this show, like, trying to find everything I could possibly find about it. And it was popular, but it was before, obviously, like, season two is a whole different level. We talk all the time about it, and you've been so supportive, so I had to get you on here for that reason. But the other reason is because, guys, when I tell you this fanfic, right, that I teased in our mailbag episode, when I found it, there were exactly two people that I immediately told about it. One was Casey, who happened to be sitting next to me when I found it and was reading it, which is why he knew I was obsessed with it and brought it up on the mailbag episode. The other person was Ashlyn. because we have talked so much about our thoughts on book three and how it was great, how it ended, but there was like so much more that we could have gotten and what we would have wanted to see. So I just knew that you would love it. And then candidly, I also was.
You need somebody to talk to about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's be real. I was like, okay. Like, I knew you'd be down. I knew you'd read it. And then I also just wanted to make sure I wasn't insane, right? I was like, this is really, really good. So even you backing it, Casey seeing how excited I got about it since the last podcast release, so many people have reached out and like, I guess, just verification that you and I are not the only ones out here who are really loving this thing.
I had my, you know, my doubts that maybe it was Jenny Han because of how well written this fanfic is. It's definitely a plot line that is, like you say very often, kudos to you, that it's so close to reality that if we were to ever even potentially think of having additional seasons or spinoffs, like this could be one of them.
All right, guys. So if you can't tell, today we have a very special guest on here, not just Ashlyn, but we are going to be talking to Red Clovers herself, the author of This Love, which is currently my favorite fan fiction that's out there about the summer I turned pretty. You guys can find it on AO3. The link to it, you can obviously DM us for it. Any alerts, Ashlyn, before we jump into this interview here?
Super excited to talk to Red Clover because I don't think she realizes how big it is. Like, I know she's gotten like a lot of kudos and a lot of comments on AO3, but at the same time, but from like actual, you know, the rest of the public that's in love with the show, I'm just excited to talk to her, and I'm a little starstruck, which I don't even know if we can call it that word, because I'm just like giddy and excited to hear her thoughts and see if these scenes that I'm reading and what I'm pulling out of them are like were intentional or were just she just wrote it and it came out that way. So I'm super excited to hear from her.
All right, you got to jump in here with this disclaimer.
All right, guys, so I'm just gonna go ahead and let you know this is very adult driven, very 18 plus. There is a lot of scenes in there that I would not recommend for a YA viewer or reader. So I mean, unless you have permission from, you know, your guidance, but yeah, that's my disclaimer. And it's definitely Bonrad driven. Like, they're Jeremiah is great in the fanfic. I'm not going to down that. His character is great. His scenes are great. The dialogue's great. But it's definitely geared towards Belly and Conrad's relationship and them growing back together. So if you're a Team Jelly fan and you're reading it, just keep that in mind.
All right, guys. Well, hope you enjoy this special bonus episode of the Better With Glasses podcast, all about the summer I turned pretty and our interview with Red Clovers about the fanfic, This Love. Go check it out. We have the author of This Love by Red Clovers, and we're just going to call her Red. We have her here.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Talk about this.
And we've got Ashlyn here, too. So let's get into this thing.
Hi, Ashlyn here. I'm going to start us off. One, I'm like a little schoolgirl right now. I've been dying. I remember when I messaged Vicky and I was like, we have to find this person, whoever is writing this. And even before we hopped on here, I was thinking that it was going to be a swerve and you were going to be Jenny Han. That's how good your writing is.
Oh, thank you.
but like Vicky and I have so much to ask you, and no, we'll probably won't cover it all, but we kind of just like want to know your experience, like what kind of like dove you into the show. Did you read the books or did you watch the show first? Because I know I read the first book when I was like a teenager, but then I watched the show and then I went and read all the books. And here's a little fun fact is I read the first book. I had the first book in print and then I couldn't wait long enough for the other ones that I ordered to come in that I bought them on my Kindle and reread them or read them all in one night. And then just was like obsessed since then. So I kind of like, we kind of want to know like kind of how your experience went with it when it first aired or when you first read it.
Yeah. So I watched the first season when it first came out and I really loved it, but to be honest, I didn't get as into it as I am now. After the first season, I don't know if I was just absolutely watching it. I don't know what happened. Second season came out and so I actually went back and rewatched the first season first and I was like, wait, was I like in a dream state while I watched this the first time? Like, so I dove into the second season after the first episode came out. I was like, I need to read these books. How did I miss these? Because I was definitely a teenager around that age range, you know, when they first came out. I'm a big library girl. So I ran to the library, checked out all three books and like devoured them. Yeah. So I don't know. I just, that second season, I guess, is what really sucked me into it. And to the level that I am now,
like a super fan.
Yes now it's like all that I think about.
that's okay you're on a podcast talking to a bunch of people where this is most of what they think about, including
right
myself.
And me and Vicky talk pretty much every day
about most 99% of the chats are about TSI.
Oh my gosh, it's like living rent free in my mind, definitely. So
for sure. Yeah, as is your fanfic now for us. But
oh, I'm glad.
I was gonna say, so relatively new to having read all the books and like coming off the heels of season two. You do such a great job of fleshing out these characters, capturing their voices. And we'll talk about some of like mine and Ashlyn's favorite like things that you pulled out of the show and out of the book. But I gotta know, like, how many times do you need to rewatch or reread just to be able to do that? Or is it just like you're that talented and please, like, no need to be humble, because like I'm so curious.
I have only like straight through, I've only watched, well, I watched season one twice, obviously, because I rewatched it when two came out. And I have gone back and watched certain moments of two. What I do, kind of my process when I'm writing a chapter, if I start to feel like I'm writing something and I'm like, this does not feel in character, this does not feel how this person would say this, I feel like I'm losing them, I'll go back and just like watch a clip and then like kind of try to play the scene in my head. And that's a huge, I think the majority of my writing process, whether it be the fan fiction or something original, happens in my head, right? Like the other day, me and my husband were driving and I was playing Taylor Swift in the car, as one does, right? And I'm like thinking about this story and I'm playing a scene in my head and I'm just kind of like spacing out, and my husband looks over at me and laughs and is like, what's going on? Like, I'm thinking about my story. I'm like playing a scene in my head. So I play it like a movie so that I can visualize, you know, how is this going to be presented, I guess? How is this person going to execute this line? What mannerism would they have? How would they be looking at one another?
Yeah. It must be, what, then easier to have the visions of the actors in your head? Because, and I've read not a lot of fan fiction, but there's some where the tone isn't as on point, and it's hard for me to even imagine, like, Taylor saying that or Steven saying that or Conrad saying that. But with yours, it's kind of like those two things are happening at the same time almost. So, like...
Well, I'm... Yeah. So okay, go ahead.
So are you envisioning how the actors would actually deliver it in addition to...
Yeah. I mean, when I'm playing it in my head as I'm writing, I'm definitely visualizing the actors. I'm visualizing... That's why it helps to go back to those scenes, because sometimes, you know, maybe I write something and I'm like, okay, if this were an episode, is this how Conrad would deliver this line? Is this, would he be this intense? Would he be this direct? And I think that's, it's kind of a tricky fine line to walk, because I'm also trying to consider the fact that in the show, we're seeing these characters quite young and the story has aged up, you know, we're 10 years down the line. So it's kind of a fine line of, I want to keep them in character and keep them authentic to how we know them and how we see them, and how we love them, but they've matured and they've grown and hopefully they have some hindsight and some, especially with Belly and Conrad and their communication. It's like, they are such horrible communicators.
Or lack thereof, right?
Yes, yes. Like, they're having two different conversations the majority of the time that they're talking. So it's like, I don't want to, like, oh, now they're suddenly overnight these great communicators and everything is just so fleshed out and they're talking beautifully, because that doesn't happen like that. You know, it needs to be organic, but I also don't want to stay so full on to how they were at 17 and 18, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think that brings up like a really great point when you mentioned like season two, because like you said, you're envisioning the cast, you're envisioning them acting out these scenes. And there are so many scenes that you've written in the fanfic well along, you know, even with Jenny Han's books in the series, that we probably wouldn't have been able to envision like Lola playing or Lola acting or Chris acting if we didn't have season two, if we didn't have the depth of their, like, the mannerisms they bring out when they're mad at each other. Like, we didn't get that in season one. So yeah, I can see where, like, if we didn't have season two,
it'd be hard to like come up with that kind of, you know, those characteristics and how they would look saying certain lines and having certain conversations with each other.
Yes.
But season two is hard to watch. So
y'all picture it now.
Yeah, that's, I haven't done a full rewatch of it because some of those scenes I'm like, I'm not ready.
Especially if you're somebody who, like me, it bothers you that they don't communicate and that they mess up at every turn. It's just, it's mm-hmm. tough.
Her belly's always walking away. Like, bro. Like, wants Conrad to respond in like a millisecond. And I'm like, it takes him a minute. Like, just give him a second, okay?
What, to yeah. think through his thoughts. Like, what were your immediate reactions to reading book three, how it played out, and the ending?
Okay, so, I was shocked at the proposal. Like, when I read that, I was like, no way, no way. And then that's when I had to, like, kind of delve in, and I'm like, when was this published? Because this feels like, you know, not up with the times, and it wasn't really then, but I feel like that is intentional to these characters who are young, and they're doing something that they don't realize really the depth or the gravity of. I feel like they're both acting on an emotion that's not really true. Yeah. And you don't realize, I mean, you don't realize the gravity of that commitment or that the whole situation that they're putting themselves in at that time. So I'm going very deep here in my answer. So let me zoom out a little bit. I was shocked, but then I am a sucker for the slow burn, and I loved watching those moments play out between Belly and Conrad in the house over the summer, and she's realizing these feelings that she still has in the depth of those feelings. And you see that she's had those for these past 2 years that she's been with Jeremiah. She's, you know, pulled out that memory and looked at it, and it's, I think, not until that summer that she realizes, I'm never going to fully get him out of my system. The end of the episode, or the end of the episode, the end of the book, though, I think is the only part that I was like, I put the book down and I was like, that's it? Really? Yeah.
There's, like, there's a lot of reactions that are similar.
Yes. And that is what, like, finishing the book is what made me be like, I need to write something. I need to flesh this out more, because this is not enough for me. Like, we are going to spend all of this time waiting, and I need more than this. Like, they have been pining for each other and orbiting each other and circling each other for all of these years, and then we just get, he wrote her, and the letters are beautiful. I love that. But I wish that we could have seen more of that, and I really hope that season three gives us a little bit more of a fleshed out version of that. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I'd love to see it.
Well, the actors have teased the age up on various interviews. Now, I don't know if that's real or if the interviewers were just kind of prying, because we know Jenny ages them up slightly. What made you choose, like, the 7 years after what Conrad says, don't be with him, be with me, but then embarrassed by that, and then they call off the wedding, and that's it, right? And
is it ever said in the books how long it is from the time that she goes to Spain and then they get married?
I think it's her
junior year, right, that she goes to Spain?
Yeah.
And so then the time to when, like, they're married, did they ever say how long that was?
I think it's 2 years after, because she says, somebody's going to have to fact check this, but she says when she's reading Susanna's letter to her, she says, oh, I imagined you at like 30 or something like that. And she says, I'm not, I'm,
I want to say like 24, 23 or 24.
Yeah, 23. So what made you want to make Belly, I guess, 26, we'll call her?
Yeah, so she's turning 26. Well, it felt, I mean, we see her turn 16 in season one, so I felt like I want to see her a full decade from that, turning 26. That was part of it. And then full disclosure, I was 23 when I got married. I feel like it's young to get married. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her to have a little more time. I wanted her to have those experiences in that life outside of Conrad outside of Jeremiah. I think in Susanna's letter, she mentions it, and we see Laurel say it to her at the end of season two of, you should have a lot of lovers. Like, you should have this experience. I wanted her to have that. I wanted it to be like, she has this full life. Like, she feels something missing. She feels pulled to Conrad still, but she has a full life. She has her own apartment. She has a job that she loves. And also we see Conrad has that too. Like, he has this career. He's still longing for her. He's still hung up on her. And I think he always would be, but they are their own two individual people, and they've had these relationships outside of each other. And I know in the story, I think I say something about the fact that she's been chasing that feeling with him that she had with him for all of these years. And she wasn't sure if she had made it up or if she was just so young, and now to come back to that at this, you know, more mature age and be like, okay, that is still there. I wasn't just young. Yeah. So I wanted to give them the space to get to that point where they would be fully formed adults who are ready for each other.
I think that's great, because, and I said this to Vicky earlier, and I'm sure other readers of this love. I'm sure other readers of This Love will notice or probably agree, is one of the things I can appreciate in some of the scenes in the recent chapters is that they have a lot of stuff to do, whether it be with their careers or just getting things ready with the house, that they're able to stand alone on. Like, they don't have to have each other to do mm-hmm. it. And I think that only comes to you at a certain level of maturity when you are developed in your career and you have had, you know, part of your life to learn how to live with yourself and not have someone attached to you all the time. So yes. I really appreciate that.
Yes, I love that. I lived alone for the early part of my 20s before I was married. And I think that that is such an important experience. And that's something that I think every woman should do for at least a part of their, you know what I mean? Like, have that time where you are by yourself. You go to bed alone. You wake up. And it's not like about being lonely. It's about like, I can do this on my own. I don't need. And I think that was really important to kind of give that to Belly, because you see her, she is so wrapped up. She is so absorbed in yeah. her love and her feelings for them, and feeling like she needs one of them so badly that it was important to see her stand on her own two feet.
Yeah. Well, I think what your story brings is this, the things from season two that I actually really liked is that you can see Steven and Taylor are clearly the same as Belly and Conrad, but different mm-hmm. in that they've been apart and they are their own individual people. And even like when Jeremiah stays and watches Belly play volleyball, like even Steven's like, no, we're not that kind of couple. Or I think yes. they both say that. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what these characters need.
And they're not ashamed yeah. either. Like, they're very proud to like know that's the kind of couple they are.
Exactly.
Like, yes.
We do our things separate. We do our things individually, and we're two individuals who choose to be together. And to your point, like, you know, even if you're not team Jeremiah or what have you, the whole point of the end of the season is that she has to make a choice, and she makes a choice, and she can always go back on that choice. But at the end of the day, there are like so many things that she needs to decide for herself. And 7 years is plenty of time.
Right. Yes.
to like make more mistakes and find yourself and to think back on past decisions, the different lens. So
yeah. I love that point about Taylor and Steven. That hadn't really clicked for me yet. So that's a good point. I like that. Very insightful.
Well, that, I mean, I will say that's what made me even start reading the fanfic, is that in the I guess description, when you said it picks up that they're thrown back together because of Steven and Taylor's wedding, I was like, oh, so there will be more characters, right? This is a fully fleshed out world. It's not just, oh, like, here's how Belly and Conrad get together finally. And I just so appreciated the use of that as a plot device. Like, it was great. Are you team Taylor, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I like them. And I hadn't really picked up on those parallels between the couples. So I'm glad that like you're making me think right now. But yeah, I like them. I like that. I really like Taylor in the show. I feel like she's that friend that everybody needs, right? Like, she's not afraid to tell Belly what she needs to hear, even if it's not what Belly wants to hear. It's what she needs to hear. And I love her. And Steven.
Who's, I feel like your team's Staler, and then you're either Team Jeremiah or Team Conrad. Like, everyone's Team Staler, right?
Yeah, who doesn't love him?
Yeah, nobody's out there like, I'm Team Milo. Shayla was great though, so shout out to Shayla.
Yes, she was.
I didn't mind like seeing her character come back either, like maybe at like her showing up at the memorial, like Susanna's memorial, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah,
something just like a small part, but she was just a great character anyway.
Yes,
she was.
Jenny has actually said multiple times that she thinks that Taylor is the most fun character to write for. What?
I'm sure.
Red, what character do you like writing the most?
Oh, Taylor is fun to write. I will say that, just because I feel like her dialogue is always so fun, and she's she's always on the point. Like, she's not somebody who's mincing her words. She's not holding back or filtering herself, and that's refreshing to write, especially with Belly and Conrad's, you know, holding back all the time. When I started writing this, I really thought that I wasn't going to delve into Conrad's perspective very much, and okay. I'm surprised by how much I like writing from his kind of perspective and giving, I mean, it's obviously it's third person, I'm not right, but to kind of give some insight onto his, I don't know, thought process. And maybe that's just because we haven't really seen that in the first two seasons.
Yo, Ashlyn, maybe that's why we love this fanfic so much, because we agree we agree with you, and we just sit here and defend this man to the death. But we defend him with like shit that we make up in our heads as if it's real. Like,
we make up things like storylines that like maybe he was actually thinking this.
Yeah, like maybe he was a jerk because he was actually feeling this way, when it's factually, it's anyone's guess, right? But
I try
to interpret it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things about the show that gets frustrating, is you watch Belly and then you have to kind of like zoom out and realize she doesn't know what we know. Like, it's so obvious to the viewer that he is like crazy about her, he's so in love with her, but from Belly's perspective, she doesn't realize that. Like, she's very hurt because he hasn't communicated that to her. And it's really fun to write his perspective, though. It's really fun to like show what is going on in Conrad's head, because I think we all want to know what's going on inside Conrad's head.
Well, Belly is very insecure anyway. Like, anything we read, anything we watch, like, that always, if it's not apparent, it becomes apparent. And, you know, like you said, we don't see that side of it. And we don't see his perspective of, like, her reactions. And she doesn't know that either. So, yeah, it's refreshing. But, I will defend Conrad to the day I die. He could, I don't know what he could do. He could probably do anything. And I'd be like, yep, sorry.
Just, you know, he just flashes those eyes at you and you're like, okay. I mean, I know Jeremiah's got those light blue eyes, but he's got those like smoldering, like.
I mean, they had to pick actors that have these gorgeous eyes, right? Like, look at either one of them, you're like, okay, I'll do it.
I don't even know if it's fair to ask you this. What was your favorite chapter to write so far? So this is on the heels also of you surprising everyone this morning. Chapter 10. So
yes. Oh, I think I had the most fun writing Belly's birthday chapter. That was one that I was kind of like daydreaming about and plotting out in my head.
You were teasing that the entire way, too. The chapter leading up to it.
It was. So the idea of him giving her this peach tree as her birthday present was like, I spent so much time daydreaming and thinking about, like, what is he going to give her? Like, I'm like, is he going to give her a new infinity necklace, like an upgraded? And I'm like, none of this seems real or seems right. And I kind of feel like that would be Conrad's thought process too, is to, like, all of these material things aren't really matching up or conveying how he feels. And him just, like, kind of having this idea, stopping at the peach stand and being like, let me give her a peach tree. Let me plant a peach tree for her, for, you know, her birthday, and what that would symbolize and what that would show for them. And then, of course, we, at the end of that chapter, get them finally getting together, which it was so hard not to have that happen sooner. Like, I love a slow burn, but I so many times would, like, write, like, them finally kissing, and then I had to, like, delete the whole paragraph and be like, it can't happen yet.
Yeah. Before you got on here, Ashlyn and I were actually talking about that chapter, and we were actually counting all the gifts that he got her. And you're right. I mean, obviously you wrote it, but there was no actual gift, right? Because, I mean, the peach tree was one. Mm-hmm. And then he saw that she wanted the dress and got her the dress.
I love that scene.
And then, I mean, it was a re-gift, but not, like, in a bad way. It was like a, hey, I bought this for my mom and I'm giving it to you. It was a lot of gifts in one day, but it was all very thoughtful.
Okay, so I was going to say that I really think you spoke to the adult fandom when it came to the gifts. Basically, because I know for a fact that for me, possibly Vicky, because I know her a little bit about TSIP now, but we kind of feel like the Infinity Necklace is a little childish at that age, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking for something else to, like, symbolize the relationship. So I think it was not only great with the whole ring situation and, you know, the gift, the last gift that he gave her, but also pulling the Polaroid back into it. I think the Polaroid can easily replace the Infinity Necklace as a symbol, and that be more of their symbol as their adult relationship compared to the Infinity Necklace as them as teenagers, you know?
Yes. I agree. I think the necklace is almost like that high school boyfriend kind of gift. And that's why I quickly turned away from that thought, because it's more of that symbolism. And, like, I want to say Belly said I wrote it, but I have her say something along the lines of, he's literally planted our roots here, like, just the symbolism of all of these actions. And I think that's, like, one of the things, I don't know, pulls you in with Conrad, is he's the kind of person who remembers these small little details, right? Like, it's not some big flashy gesture. Like, he could have just gone out and bought her a diamond necklace, but what does that really mean? What does that signify for them?
Not to, you can edit this out, Vicky, but not to put a rain on anyone's parade, but how's Conrad going to take care of this tree if he's allergic to peaches?
A good point. I think Belly's gonna have to step up, and
I think they're gonna have to get married, guys. Uh-huh. And then she'll have to take care of the tree. What I was gonna say is, I loved that he gave her the peach tree. I loved even more when I found out that he actually owns the home. So that was an incredible, like, swerve. Didn't see it coming, but, like, damn right he's planting a tree in his backyard. Like, it for whatever reason, it just clicked for me when that was, like, put in there.
That makes that moment, like, even more monumental, because those, like you said, he's planting roots in that, like, that's his home. And if that's, question though, if that's his home, why is he not living at cousins? Sorry, this is your story, I know. But this is what happens, okay? I'm sitting here saying, like, wouldn't it be easier to just live at the cousin's house that you own and have a residency nearby, you know?
It would be, but I feel like part of, and I've seen, like, I don't know if I've seen it in other fan fictions, but I've seen, like, little, like fan edits and videos and stuff on TikTok of people, like, oh, they're going to live there. And I like that idea, but I also feel like what the house represents with this like nostalgia and these magical summers and it being a place where everybody comes together. I feel like you lose that when it's like, this is Belly and Conrad's house. And I think that's a part of why it, when I made the decision that Conrad has bought the house, he's used his trust, it's his now. That was a secret. Like that was something he didn't want to showboat out to everybody. He was keeping it from even Jeremiah. Jeremiah's name is on the deed as well. Like they own it together, but Conrad bought it. Mm-hmm. And it was something he was keeping close to his chest because he didn't want everybody to see it as his. And that was kind of a callback to, I think it's the first or second chapter when they meet up at the restaurant and he says to her, like, you still have the key, right? Like, I want you and Steven to know that you can come and go as you please. Like, this is everybody's house. So I think that is something that would be important to Conrad to keep it that space for everybody.
Yeah.
And you also like that you didn't write him as like completely broke because he didn't trust his
doctor. He's a doctor, right? Okay. If anybody saw my Google search history, especially after the two part fic that I just posted the other, it's like my Google search history is crazy, but I'm like Googling all these facts about like residency programs. How much do residents make? I saw 250K and I was like, okay, he's fine. Like he's good.
He is good. Yeah. If Belly wants the nicer apartment, or if he can see her in the nicer apartment with the vaulted ceiling, mm-hmm. the nice finishings, like he's like, easy, go run those numbers. I got it.
Right? Yeah. I love that. And I wanted it to be like he is his own man. He's not falling back on this trust. He's like cut himself off from Adam to stand on his own two feet, and giving up his trust was a part of that. But now he has the house, which ultimately is the most important thing and is priceless.
It makes me want to cry.
Ashlyn, by the way, read the other fic and was sobbing. So I have not.
Oh my gosh.
I have not read it yet.
Because like, you know, like we were talking, you can envision the characters playing these roles and you can like, it's like a movie going on in your head. And I'm just like, I'm reading this dialogue and all this description and I'm like, panicking.
Oh, that was when I had that like little seed of the idea in my head early on in writing This Love. And I was like, I am such a one track mind person. I cannot delve over and start writing something else. Like, let me just start jotting down ideas and I'll write it after. I could not get it out of my head. And we're keeping me anonymous, so I can admit I work a corporate job, okay? In between my phone calls and my emails, I've got my phone out and I've got Google Docs open and I'm writing during the day. So that was one of those stories where I'm like, I can't focus on anything else until this story gets out of my system.
Yeah, you're writing and we're waiting. Did you ever think your fandom is going to grow this large?
I thought two people were going to, I thought like, I'm going to get maybe five kudos on this. Like nobody's reading this. And I really, if anybody's listening and they have like a seed of an idea or they feel pulled to write something, like please do. If you go and look on Archive of Our Own, AO3, I don't know what we're calling it. Too old to keep up with this, but there's like 280 something stories total for the fandom, which is really low when you look at some bigger fandoms.
Yeah.
So I really like, write something and post it if you want to, because everybody, we want it. We want to read it. I want to read them too. Like I have my stories that I'm following and stalking too, and we need it. We are in a drought here. So.
Yeah. As soon as I told Casey that I was reading yours, Casey was like, oh, we should have a competition where I write one and you write one and then we let the fans vote. And I was like, game on.
Even in Taylor's, Casey, that's it. Oh, yeah, no
characters. This is going to be about Taylor all the way. Ashlyn, what were your favorite, and I'm going to have Red obviously talk it out with you, but what were your favorite like moments from the fic? We talked about Peachtree, which I know you loved.
The peach tree, yeah. But I also realized, Vicky, you and I, we have different ones. Like you have one, you have some that are over mine that I would, you know, vice versa. I loved Lydia's character. Loved it. I loved how it showed the characteristic of Adam, how he would like date, I don't know, I wouldn't say flashy, but like someone younger, you know. It was like, you wrote it for her to be younger, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. And how she was like a plot device for later in the story with the things that happened. Try not to do spoilers here.
You can do
spoilers. And it was great. Like, I mean, I guess that goes into my other favorite scenes too, so I'll go ahead and spoil it. But like how she came up with the cheating thing, and then like right back to back, we have Jared cheating again. And I said, holy double whammy. Like, I feel sorry for Belly. Like, I couldn't handle it at 26.
I mean, on top of that, she's drunk, right?
Yeah, so, no, right.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Your sober brain and your drunk brain.
I mean, yeah. John Connor, I just had to leave his phone in the toilet. Like, I mean, not in the toilet.
Come on. Such an irresponsible move for a responsible guy, right?
Right. Right. But it opened up, like, it opened up so much dialogue and character development for Belly, too, like, getting back to that insecure side of her and, like, going, reverting back to, like, her and Jeremiah's relationship and all the insecurities that came with that, that, honestly, Conrad doesn't know about.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, those were two of my big favorite moments, was Lydia and the whole cheating thing. The dress was a big one for me. I think it was because they hadn't got together at that point, right? They weren't together yet?
No, it wasn't until the end of that chapter.
So that was kind of like,
leading up to it.
There was a little bit of a tease on the beach about like something sexy fixing to happen. But that moment with the dress was really like a big tease. Like, when it happened, it was going to happen. Like, there was no backing down. So yeah, I love that. And it's almost like he was kind of like shy about it. I don't know if you meant to write him as kind of shy that he actually bought the dress for her, but like he had to walk out of the store and then her check out and walk out with it. Like, not that he was ashamed, but kind of like he was not, I don't know, wondering what her reaction would be to it, I guess.
Yes, I think that was kind of where I was going with it, is he's embarrassed. He wants to buy it for her, but he knows that maybe she's not going to let him if he comes out and, you know, if he walks up to the register with her and is like, here's my card. Like, that's not Conrad. And that's what we see with the house too. Like, he's not going to show off. He's not going to, you know, go about it that way. It's more of, I got it. Like, yeah. And you see that like possessive side of him where he's like, I know she looks good in this dress, and I know everybody's going to look at her in this dress. It's like, maybe I can't have her, but I bought her the dress. And I think it's also kind of like testing, because neither of them know how each other's really like feeling at that point. And they're both circling this idea of like, I want you and I'm drawn to you, but do you still want me?
Mm-hmm. It's very captivating. Like, he, in his mind, she is his, and in her mind, he is hers, but that doesn't ever like come out, you know. It's got to get to fruition eventually, but to get there, yeah. Oh, it's just like a roller coaster.
As is everything with these two, right? Like, there's no smooth sailing.
Yeah, mine. Yeah, you're right, Ashlyn. Mine were like a little bit different. Like, there's just, I just remember reading some parts and like smiling to myself or laughing out loud. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did it, or she talked about it. And one of them was early on. I think it was maybe chapter two, where Taylor picks up the phone and calls Conrad, and Belly's listening in, because it's the same. I can imagine those two doing it, because even though they are older, that just puts both of them right back to when they're younger and Belly's giddy, and she's like, she wants to know what he's gonna say, but she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then also the way that you wrote Taylor calling Conrad, I'm like, Taylor, in where we are in the show, it would not do that,
right? Like, she's not right. At all in the show right now.
Yeah, but clearly, I mean, she's been with Steven forever, and Steven and Conrad are apparently best friends, right? And it was just so believable, so well done. I just loved that. So
thank you. Yes. I don't know if this, I mean, my experience when you're with like your high school friend, like that, you know, that person you've been friends with forever, you almost revert back to that state, right? So it was kind of like that high school move of like, I'm going to call this person and we're going to hear, but you don't know that we're both hearing. So I liked that. That's, you know, something I think we can all see ourselves doing with an old friend, right? But to go back to your point about Taylor switching kind of her stance, that's something I really want to see play out in season three. I want to see her reaction to Jeremiah cheating. I'm just going to kind of like go on a little tangent here, but you guys watch Sex and the City? Are you Sex and the City fans at all?
Oh, I never watched it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to encourage you to look up the scene when it's like, I think it's the first Sex and the City movie when Carrie Bradshaw is marrying Big and he leaves her at the altar. And Charlotte is like, which is one of, you know, the Sex and the City girls, is so upset and she runs into him on the street and he tries to talk to her and she has this whole moment where she's like, and I'm like paraphrasing here, I'm probably getting it all wrong, but this is what I think of and this is what I'd like to see is Taylor and Taylor and Jeremiah reaction, where she's like, I was rooting for you, like I always had your back, I was pulling for you, how dare you, like I curse you. And I really want to see, because we don't really see anybody aside from Conrad have that reaction or really, you know, call Jeremiah out for what he did. And I think with the development that we've seen with these side characters in the show, they're so much more present than they are in the books that I feel like it's inevitable.
We have to, right?
Like there's no way the Taylor that we see in the shows is just going to be like, okay, Belly, like here's this wedding binder. I'm going to just shut my mouth and not say or do anything. Right. And with the Taylor and Steven connection,
it's over.
Right.
Yeah. And then we don't even really get a Conrad Jeremiah confrontation in book three. You see how angry he is only because he gets a POV.
Right. Right. That's true.
Well, don't they have that one scene where he like
goes at the end.
At the end. Yeah.
But that's not about the cheating at all. That's about.
Yeah, like, that's very true. I want to see him called to the mat over that so much more than he is in the book, because I feel like Belly's reaction, it's like she cries for 3 days and then she's like, okay, let's start planning this wedding.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote it, I think, in this last chapter about how he never really like took accountability for his actions.
Mm-hmm. I want to see somebody call him out in season three.
There was a small, again, it just like kind of made me laugh to myself, but when Cam shows up outside of the party store and Conrad just finds himself lying, like I remember reading it and I was like, you just lied. And then the fact that he gets in the car, he's like, I don't know why I just did that. Like, I'm such an idiot, but
he's happy about it, but I lied too.
Exactly. But it reminded me of something that Jenny did write that was in season two, which is like the slip up, like, oh, this is my girlfriend, when the real estate agent comes.
Yes.
It's just like, it's so easy for him to like play, act.
Mm-hmm. Her. Because that's what's going on in his head. Like in his head, like, this is my girl.
And then the ring. Ashlyn, you and I actually DM'd back and forth about the ring. But how did you even get that idea? Right? That like Jeremiah would be proposing and like wanted to give Susanna's ring, and just the way that Conrad brought it up to Belly was amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I guess that one just kind of came out of me. And the idea of him wanting to propose and that he would ask for Susanna's ring and ask for Conrad's blessing to use the ring was kind of the first thought. And then I had to kind of like go deeper into it and be like, what does this imply and what does this mean? How is Belly going to feel about this? How, you know, and Conrad almost being protective because he realizes before she does that he's proposed to her, but he didn't want Susanna's ring when he proposed to her. So, I mean, it does also signify the fact that Jeremiah is following so closely in Adam's footsteps and he's making those mistakes and he's reliving those patterns.
It's just so good.
I am seriously having so much fun writing this. Like I said, I really did not think anybody was going to read it, was going to like it. I thought I'd write two chapters and then it'd be out of my system. And now I'm just having so much fun. And it's kind of reignited my passion for some original stories that I've been working on too. And makes me, I'm like, okay, so people like the way I write. I guess I can, I can commit to this bit, right?
It's not a bit. Like, what did you study in school? Like, is it something that you practiced? Or, I mean.
Yeah, I have always loved to write. My mom was an English teacher, and so that was always, like, so instilled in me as a child. Like, I always joke, and it's the truth. You know, when I was a kid, it wasn't chores that we would get paid for during the summer. It was a dollar for every book and a dollar for every poem memorized. Yeah. And my mom was a writer, too, so she always encouraged that. I was always walking around with a notebook, making up stories, writing stories. But no, I'm always writing something. I always have been. That's kind of the one thing that's remained consistent in my life through changing majors in college, career changes, moving across the country. It's like a constant in my life. So I am so grateful for all of the kind words and the comments and the feedback, and to know that people are enjoying it as much as I have enjoyed writing it.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So we got a while till we get season 3, right?
We do.
Ashley's about to ask you to write like 50 chapters.
How many fanfics are we gonna get?
So I have a whole like Google Doc of ideas, because I sit here and I'll think like, what if this, what if that, how would this person react if this happened?
We all do the same thing, we just don't put it on paper.
And when I started writing this book, like I said, I seriously thought 2 chapters, this is going to be out of my system. Mm-hmm. It's not. And I have kind of roughly drafted for 15 chapters. And I was just going to have like an extended epilogue. And the more I think about it, I'm like, I'm not entirely sure yet, but I think it will be longer than that, because I want to see, and I want to create these full chapters of, you know, how they work out living 4 hours apart. I already have all of this in my head of, you know, a proposal, a wedding, I want to see all of it. And I also want to extend upon this universe. Like the other day I was thinking of Laurel at, you know, the house in the summer with these grandchildren, and her like kind of sitting there and reflecting. And long story short, I'm not done yet, so don't worry.
Well, I just think it's so great, because I have a feeling we're not going to get that sort of future with the seasons, like with the series, you know? Mm-hmm. So from what I've read so far on like fanfics and stuff, which, you know, me and Vicky have talked about, like I said, how a lot of fanfics are, I love that they're doing it, but it's a lot of smut. And I'm a big reader and I do appreciate some smut, but you have to do it in the right way. Especially if you want to like have a full-fledged story, like you said, a whole universe. I feel like you're one of the writers in the fanfic universe that's doing it the right way and doing a great job at it, as far as like fully rounded characters and staying true to who they are and a true plot line that makes sense that they would fall into. I mean, like, I don't feel like we're going to get that with the series. So you're the only thing we have beyond them getting married. So I'm like, okay, just keep coming.
Yeah, I know. I'm so worried. I agree. I don't think we're going to get that. And I'm glad to share it with everybody, because believe me, it was like, I read book 3 in one night. Like, I think I started it after dinner one night and I did not sleep that night, because I was like, I'm not putting this down. Yeah.
I think I went to work on like no hours of sleep that day.
Yes. No, I had my book club meeting. I think it must have been a Friday night, and I had book club that Saturday. It was like a brunch, and I went there on like 0 hours of sleep. And I'm like, I know this is not the book we're supposed to be talking about, but have any of you read this? So yeah, I don't know. I put it down, and that ending, like we, you know, have talked about, is so brief, and it's unsatisfying. It is. It leaves you wanting more. So I immediately knew I have to expand on this in my head.
Ironically, before Vicky sent me, I don't know if I told you this, Vicky, but before she sent me the link to your fanfic, I had actually, like, Jenny Han was doing, like, a Q&A in her stories, and my question was, are you going to write a fourth book? Because I can't. Like, this can't be it.
Yeah, that's what's nice about fanfic, too, though, right? Like, you get writers of all ages, and there is... I'm just a big fan of writing in general and creativity and the creative brain and all that stuff. And I do appreciate the, like, okay, I'm going to take these characters and now they're all in outer space, right? Or, like, there is something about that that is, like, nice and intriguing. But I think that what's has really sucked in a lot of the fandom to this in particular, and why even on the podcast we mentioned it, is because it's so close to reality for whatever reality is in our brains of these characters and what they would do and how they would feel, that it does feel like a really good extension of all of that.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that that came across, because that was my intention. I wanted it to feel organic and true to who they are. So I'm so happy that that worked out. Sometimes you write something, like I said, and it's like, this isn't them, so you kind of have to go back and flesh it back out, and I'm so happy that it comes across that way.
One thing I noticed too was, and I think the fans really appreciate, is some of the things we love about the series is the parallels between season 2 and season 1, like just the scenes themselves in general, how they're posed, how just the way the composition of the scenes are filmed. And I can see that in your writing too, how there's a lot of parallels back to the books or back to the series. Like, just like I would be reading a scene in your fanfic and be like, oh, this reminds me of that scene from this episode. Just because of the way it's written or the vocabulary you use, the dialogue. In addition to that was Belly sleeping in Susanna's room and then like Taylor coming in the next morning, and how that felt such like a parallel to me with Laurel and Susanna, how it's almost like they're handing over the baton to like Belly, and which I don't know if you meant to write it that way, but that's the way it came across to me. And I'm like, oh, I could definitely see like this eventually being like Belly's adult room and them having so many conversations in there, you know?
Yes. Yeah, no, it was a little intentional. And I love the idea of like, hey, Taylor and Stephen are getting married, and now we're watching Belly and Conrad get together. And this is the new generation of it, right? Like, they're going to spend their summers with their kids in this house. And like you said, the baton has been passed. They represent this new generation. They're the new Laurel and Susanna in a lot of ways.
I just love that, like, I'm reading it and I do feel like I'm understanding it. And that always worries me when I read something, because I'm like, did they mean for it to be this way, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not that dumb. I'm reading it right.
We all sit here and we infer all these things, right? And we like impose ourselves into this world. I guess you've already kind of, not in any way spoiled, I think you set out to do this, but you know, we're going to get a proposal and a wedding, like the full-on shebang. What are your thoughts, and you can feel free to not share, but what are your thoughts on where Jeremiah ends up? Because one thing that a lot of fans, myself included, like, I know this is about Bonrad, and most people in the podcast, even though I catch some flack for it sometimes, knows that I'm like staunchly team Conrad. That doesn't mean that I'm anti-Jeremiah, and I've seen a lot of actual fan fiction or a lot of just like hate for like, oh, you could, if you like one, you can't like the other. Like, I love all of the characters as they're written, but you kind of have to understand where each person's role is and what they play in the overall storyline and the arc. And just the way that Jenny wrote it, Jeremiah was not supposed to be fully fleshed out.
Right.
Right. And I think he's so much more fleshed out in the show, which is why there's this dynamic and this gravitational pull towards him. Yes. And a lot of people just say to themselves, okay, if Belly gets Conrad and Conrad gets Belly, what does Jeremiah get? Because I also thought the ending of the book was unfair to unfair to the idea I have of this guy being okay. And I wanted to know if you are going back to not necessarily fix, but add more to the existing story. Do you have a vision for Jeremiah's ending?
I do. I was also, that was one of the parts of the end of book three that left me unsatisfied, was it's like we see the conversation that he and Belly have the morning of the wedding, and then the next time we see him, it's like he's waving at them, right, on their wedding day, and it's like, where is he? Like, is he happy? Like, yeah. You know, and especially with the show, like you said, these characters are so much more fleshed out in the show. I feel like people are so much more invested in Jeremiah and his story. Would not be fair to the character if at the end of season three, that's what we get, is he's waving to them from, and you know, it's like implies that they're good and he's good, he's there. But it's not, we need more. I was nervous doing the storyline of him cheating again. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a pattern that people have. And I think that we did not see him take full accountability or be fully held accountable for that when he cheated on Belly. And I think that he is kind of a mirror of Adam. And it's not put out there in a way to bash his character or, you know, make him into this bad guy, because I don't think he is a bad guy in their story, but I think he is human. And I think he has a lot to figure out and sort out, especially when it comes to relationships. Belly is kind of a prize to him. I do have an idea of where I'd like to see him. I want to see him have that happily ever after too. I want all of them to have that. Mm-hmm. I'm not fully sure what that looks like, but I think that there's a lot of healing that needs to take place for Jeremiah and between him and Conrad as well. I'd like to see them, because you know, they come together at the end of this last chapter I've posted, and they, you know, Conrad apologizes, like he took it too far by bringing Susanna into it. He shouldn't have done that. And I don't know. I want to see them get to a place where they truly are good with each other, because I think they have this idea in their head that they're good and everything's okay, but it hasn't fully come to fruition yet.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I didn't think I would like her that much, but like in just a short like three chapters, I really loved Sam. And then when
he matches his energy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But then when Belly then started to also like Sam, then I was like, oh, now I'm really all in on Sam. So I think she's great. And so I was like, oh my God, that's the happy ending for Jeremiah. And then, yes, the cheating thing. Like, I was as upset about that as like all the crazy stuff that Conrad does and him and Belly like messing things up time and time again. So yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, hopefully it's growth, but there is a pattern to it and it's recognition and do over, so to speak. But there is something about how each of these characters have a tendency to run away, and they do it in different ways. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah self-destructing his relationships might be his way of running away. But just like Belly has to figure it out, Conrad definitely had to figure it out. Like, it's all different shades of the same thing.
Yeah. I agree completely. I think the fans get a little mad, kind of like how you said, Vicky, like, because as much as we have hope for Conrad and Belly, we also have hope that Jeremiah will grow up and that he will also mature and have, even if he like fucks up like he did cheating, like he'll be able to sit there and have that conversation. And, you know, in addition to that, it was nice seeing that he like held back from brunch. Like, he's really contemplating what he was doing. He's not just like blowing it off or not taking accountability for it like he did before. So yeah, I think there's a lot of hope to go around in different ways for different characters.
So, all right, we're going to wrap this thing up with a little bit of a rapid fire. It doesn't have to be too rapid. Favorite Taylor Swift song?
My Tears Ricochet.
Ooh, Ashlyn?
Ironically, it's Dancing with Our Hands Tied.
Mm. Favorite Taylor Swift era?
Oh no. I want to say Red. I don't know. I love them all.
Reputation is mine. I think I know every word to every song on that album.
Okay. I'm also so partial to 1989 because that was, I brought my niece to the concert when it was 19, and so it's like, I just think of her and how sweet that moment was, so.
Yeah, there's a duality to mine. I think I told Ashlyn, like, speak now for the nostalgic part mm-hmm. of me, but then Folklore for, like, the grown-up version of me that, like, it came out during mm-hmm. COVID and, like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that.
I think the reason why Reputation is mine is because I'm one of those people where, like, I can envision bad bitch scenes, like, walking down the street and just, like, flaring to some, like, I did something bad and just, like, strutting.
Oh, my God. No, that's, I was on my walk the other day and Look What You Made Me Do came on and I was like, I'm, like,
yeah, feeling yourself, right?
Yeah.
Some ass.
Three reasons why you're Team Conrad.
Oh, okay. I think he is, oh my goodness, three reasons. How do I narrow it down? In a way, I feel like he is a foil to Jeremiah's character, in that I feel like Jeremiah's kind of like that boyfriend that you want when you're younger. Like, he's going to kiss you out in the parking lot and, you know, be showy and whatever. But Conrad is like the guy who knows you. He knows Belly. So I think he's thoughtful would be number one. His complexity, I think there's so, he's like much more beneath the surface. He's not who people probably think that he is. I think he's much deeper than people meet him at surface level. And then I guess this kind of ties into the first one, but I see him as somebody who is going to do the right thing and hold the people together around him. And, you know, he's a caretaker, but not in that way that is pushy or is overbearing. But I feel like Conrad does those things quietly. So that was a really long answer.
That's okay.
I'll leave the most obvious one for last when it comes to me. But kind of along the lines of what she said, I do like Conrad's discretion. Everything that happens between him and Belly is very private. It's theirs. He's not trying to show it out. That was probably one of my favorite scenes of, like, that last episode of season two when he's on his, like, Damon Salvatore banter in the back of the car. And he's like, discretion, I like it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it still hasn't come up that Belly's not a virgin anymore.
Yeah.
You know? But I would say
it
definitely.
It came up in the fic.
Yes, it did come up in the fic.
It did. That was a conversation that needed to be had.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, so, like, his discretion and the comparison between him and Jeremiah, where he's very sweet to her. Like, even the way he kisses her is very sweet and very soft, even when they are having their sexy moments. And Jeremiah is, like, very spontaneous, like, very, I wouldn't say forceful, but because it goes both ways, but, like, mainly, like, the series where he's grabbing her neck. So I like how he's very sweet to her and more in a sense, like you said, he cares about her deeply and who she truly is. And he sees her for her and he's not concerned with being with her as much as he is like her well-being and taking care of her, whether he's a friend or they're in a relationship. And then like last reason, the obvious reason I'm team Chris Briney. He's a great actor. He's extremely good looking and he likes to carry around a camera and photograph. So, you know, those are my reasons.
There you go. I will double down on the thoughtfulness. You said it, Red, when you said complexity or like that he has complexity. Like, I like that he's flawed. Like, I don't think it's any secret, like, to anyone that knows, like, who I tend to pick in, like, these love triangle type things, but I do have a soft spot for the guy who is flawed and like has to grow right into their own. And then this isn't even a descriptor, but like I was actually talking to another fan, and there's like different love languages, right? And I think acts of service is one that I personally gravitate to. Like the person who knows me deeply, and like we were talking about the gifts that, like, in the fanfic, right? The gifts, but even in the gifts that he gives her in the show, right? Like the infinity necklace and the unicorn and like all this stuff. It's just like there's a service to it. Even when he's doing wrong by her, he thinks he's doing right by her. So, you know, right now she needs a lot of confidence boosting, and to hear words actually being said to her in the series, at least. And Jeremiah's given that to her. But yeah, I always have a soft spot for the acts of service. If you only could pick one favorite scene of the series so far.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think I don't think I can pick one. So two, from the first season, the ball when they dance is like so romantic to me. It's like, there's no kissing. There's no, like, there's still, you know, we're still not sure what's happening, but it's like the way they're looking at each other the whole time. And you see, I think it's the part where she kind of circles around him in the dance, and he kind of lets out this sigh of relief where you feel like he's like having hope. Like he's like, I might have her. And I love that moment. It's like that silent acting that I think is so beautiful. And then the fireplace scene, not for the obvious reasons, but also just like for the silent acting, like the way they're looking at each other, the way he looks at the necklace and then looks up to her. I think it's just so telling and really shows us the depth of their relationship and their bond and what this moment means to them. You know, it's not like a lustful, like we're not sneaking away for this purpose. It's like this, they're speaking without words. And it's, I think it was so beautifully done. I'm so glad for that change in the storyline and what that means for these two in the coming season, and just how it was executed was so beautifully done.
It was a beautiful scene. Everything about it.
Yes.
Have you seen the clip where they take out the music?
Yes.
And how, you haven't seen it?
No.
Okay, so they take out the music, and it's really, really a tell to like Chris and Lola's acting together, because, you know, in that moment, like she said, it's not about like what they're doing. It's about how they're feeling towards each other, mm-hmm. and kind of relinquishing control to each other. And in the scene without the music, just like the audio of their acting, you like hear them both like let go of this like deep sigh, almost like they're just letting go. And it's probably more beautiful than the scene with music. Just because, yeah, you'll have to watch it.
Yeah, someone on here is going to have to send that to me. And
it's great, because not only does it like show those characters and what they're really feeling, but it shows that they're going beyond just trying to like accomplish a scene. They're really like putting their heart and soul to like everything in these characters, making sure they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you want from season one and season two?
Sure.
So the first season is actually gonna be Conrad and Cleveland. Not the panic attack scene, surprisingly, but this scene where he starts to like really vocalize how he's looking at Belly differently, and how he, you know, it's always been like this girl, this friendship he's had around, and now he's seeing it could be something more. So I really, really love that scene, and the fact that Conrad had somebody to talk to. Like, what would we have done in season one if he didn't have that avenue or that, you know, authority figure to go to and just have that conversation with? Because, yeah, like Laurel tried talking to him, but she jumped to assumptions and didn't really let him voice what he was feeling. So I really like that. And I really hope they bring Cleveland back in. I think we've been teased. And then the second season is probably the garbage can scene. Mm-hmm. Back to like the acting and like the way you can obviously tell like she is so in denial with how she's feeling. And she's almost voicing to him these untruths to make herself feel better, but then she thinks she's trying to make him feel better at the same time, but that's not what he's really wanting to hear from her. And then, of course, you know, me and Vicky, we've talked about the whole grabbing the chest. My heart hurts. Leaving the garbage cans.
Because then you're just thinking, oh,
yeah. Looking up at the sky, like, oh, my God, is this happening? But, yeah, I really love that for the different emotions that really come out all in a matter of, what, a minute and a half.
Oh, I'm going to credit Ashlyn with this next question. What scene makes you cringe?
Oh my gosh. honestly, a lot of the Jeremiah one-liners don't come for me if anybody loves him, but like you don't have to hurt yourself to get my attention. Like that makes me cringe.
Vicky, I'm going to ask you, what part makes you cringe the most? There's a little break in that.
I know. Okay. So I recently rewatched it, and it's actually Belly to Jeremiah, but the by the golf cart in the Jeremiah narration episode when she's just like, why won't you kiss me? And it's like, it's not even a Team Bonrad versus Team Jelly thing. I'm like, Belly, are you seriously asking this right now? Like, you were just telling Taylor that you're never going to love anyone like you love Conrad. You were just saying that you don't deserve to kiss Jeremiah because of the way that you hurt him, and that's not over. And just because you're playing truth or dare and Jeremiah is like this like fun-loving guy who normally in other circumstances would kiss you, like that gives you the right to ask him? I don't know. Yeah. It was
you wanted me every other time.
It was cringe because I know that she's messy and I know that she's feeling a lot, but that was almost like zero self-awareness.
It's cringe that she thinks like she can just say, like, you know.
Yes.
I can just have you whenever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like one of those moments that hopefully adult Belly looks back on and is like cringing herself. Like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully with some hindsight.
Ashlyn, you wrote the question.
I have a fanfic cringe moment. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Belly in the volleyball scene, like when she just flops down in the sand and just having her little moment. I'm like, oh God, we're having a Belly meltdown over nothing.
Yes.
It was funny.
I
mean, like
writing that, just...
But one of the scenes that made me cringe was the motel scene when he's like saying, I take it back, I didn't mean it. And I know that Belly's narrating in a portion of it, but let's take out the part if Belly wasn't narrating and they're just kind of like staring at each other for like a whole minute and nothing's being said. Like he doesn't know she's like narrating in her head, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So I don't know what to get from his, like, the way he's looking at her. I don't know how to take that. Maybe you have some thoughts on it. But it kind of makes me cringe because I'm like, I don't know if I would just stand there in silence and just look at her. Like, I don't know how I feel about it.
I feel like he was maybe waiting. I feel like he's almost always not wanting to say how he truly feels, but like, you know, test, like, I'm going to say this, are you going to push back? Like, he's wanting to know how she's really feeling without straight up asking her, what's going on? How do you feel? How do you feel about me? How do you feel about him? So it's, I almost feel like.
Like, is she going to call me out or is she going to fight? What's she going to do? Okay.
Yeah, I don't, that's how I see it, took it.
But and maybe I've just watched the scene too many damn times and I'm like.
Yeah. What we don't realize is that she's doing it in her head.
Right.
Like she's, it's one of the few times that she doesn't freak out and have a meltdown. And I think that makes it more poignant for him as a moment that he'll regret because she's doing all the same like Belly talk in her head, but she doesn't give him any of that.
She's done. Like that's.
Yeah, she's done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then the other one was, I think we can totally, like, it would have been completely okay if they would have refilmed Conrad jumping in the pool. Was not graceful whatsoever.
No, they were not acting in that moment. I think they were.
And last but not least, a bold prediction you would make about season 3.
Ooh, I'm really curious to see how it's going to play out with Jeremiah finding out that she has lost her virginity to Conrad, mm-hmm. how that conversation is going to go. My bold prediction is going to be that she does not sleep with Jeremiah. And I think that's going to be a tension point in their relationship. And I think we are going to see them, like we've seen Belly and Conrad, having two different conversations before this Cabo trip, where I think we know that he knows that she spent Christmas with Conrad again at the house. And now he has that added information and that added layer that isn't in the book, that they've slept together. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's going to be two different conversations and two different meanings coming from two completely different places. And I think that's going to be kind of the catalyst for how the events unfold leading up to what happens in Cabo.
Before I say my prediction, I want to make a note on what you just said. And one of them is that I think, and I've said this to Vicky, I think that Jeremiah assumes already that something happened between Belly and Conrad, because obviously he had to know that they went away to Cousins, because if they're living in Boston and he's on break, and he's not at the Boston house, but Jeremiah's at the Boston house. Where's Conrad?
He did say, like, how mad are they going to be when they find out? So yeah. Jeremiah's in high school. He's living at home.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Or he had to know that he went there.
Yeah. And, you know, in season 2, when he brings up in the car, he's like, I've only ever been to Cousins once outside of the summer with my mom, and it was spring. Almost like he was, like, using that as a...
Yes.
way for her to say something.
But you thought he was baiting her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's
and I do think that will come back around, like you said, and might be something like, well, why didn't you ever tell me about you and Conrad? Because I clearly already knew. And I gave you many ways to tell me, and you never. Yeah. So I think that's, like you said, it's going to be a catalyst to, you know, push whatever way they go in their relationship forward. I've been saying a lot that what if we get season 3 and it's not 2 years ahead and it's just next summer and it's just July 4th and everything gets extended out a little bit longer and Conrad doesn't go to Stanford. I'm excited to see the beach scene of the Confession of Love. Yeah. I'm excited to see how they play that out, how they twist it, because we know they're going to stick to the books, but they're not going to stick to the books.
Yep.
None of us were expecting that beach scene with Belly and Conrad after the party, except for what was in the books. We didn't expect that dialogue.
Right.
So I'm curious to see how they twist the beach scene for book 3 at the Confession of Love, if it's done differently, if it's done sooner.
I was saying to Ashlyn that I have been trying to come up with in my head a way to not have Jeremiah cheat, a way for there to not be a proposal and still get the beach scene because I loved it so much and still get them at the house by themselves together. And I like legitimately, maybe I'm just not as creative as you. I cannot come up with a way to do it differently and service all the same points that they have to hit. Yeah, it's not a bold prediction, but I think they actually do stay very, very dangerously close.
They could just up the dialogue when they're wedding, like when she's wedding planning and they're at the beach house together by themselves, like when Jeremiah's not there, you know?
Yeah, but I think my bold prediction would be that we actually see or are introduced to Conrad's girlfriend. We hear him talk about her, I mm-hmm. think, because there's so many more characters in the show. I think there's an opportunity for her to be introduced to somebody else. Maybe Steven flies out to California and they meet her, or he brings her, or at some point it's brought up that he actually is with someone, because I really want to see Belly's reaction to it. Because to me, it's a little cringe in the book that she has this memory that she keeps pulling out, or like she like has a dream about Conrad and then she like wants to like finish the dream almost. But that's like so one-sided for her. Like, I would like to see her react to, okay, Belly, like, you got your life and you're trying to move on, but like Conrad can move on too, and you can have some kind of visceral reaction to it. So that's what I want.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
All right.
Any Can we last talk about the new fanfic just real quick?
Go yeah. for it.
What inspired that? Because so the timeline for the new fanfic is before they're married. Like, what's the timeline for that? And what inspired that storyline?
You know, I think I just sit there and I think about all of the different ways that these two could find their way back to each other. And I think, I'm really sorry because I don't remember who it was, but somebody left a comment on one of the chapters of This Love saying, what I love about the Bonrad fan fiction that I read is that no matter what universe or no matter what situation you put these two in, they find their way back to one another. And I just, the idea of them being so distant from each other and not knowing each other's lives anymore, and Belly feeling this longing and this almost emptiness where she has this life that should be fulfilling, you know, she's having this adventure, she's in Paris, she's successful, but there's still something missing. And the thought of like, what do you, you know, at least for me, at the end of the night when I'm falling asleep, I'm scrolling on my phone, and what would happen when she sees Conrad as a suggested friend, somebody you may know, and how jarring that would be. And that kind of shakes her into this mindset. And then we obviously go in a completely different direction because we have Conrad injured. And I just, the thought of, I think, putting her in a position where she realizes, like, no, I can't think of a more eloquent way to put it, but like, shit or get off the pot. Like, he's here in the world and you're living separate from him. And now you've almost lost him in a way that is, you can't come back from. Like, he's in this hospital bed and she's having to fathom a life without him, and everything else seems so trivial and is put into such perspective. I don't know. That's, I just, getting them in that mind space, I guess, was what inspired it. And like I said, I could not get it out of my head. Like, I'm writing this love, and I'm like thinking of this other story. I felt like I was cheating on it a little bit, but
I've always kind of said that in the true story with Jenny Han, like, Conrad is always in the position where they may not be together, like Belly and him may not be together, but he's always connected to her somehow. And I feel like in the new fanfic, you did that. You put it to where, like, he could be gone forever. Like, there's no connection whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's ever had to feel that before, which is why I think that storyline is so powerful. And not to spoil anything, but, you know, when she finally does get to him and he is, like, coherent, he's just still trying to push her away. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere. Anyway, I loved it. I cried like a baby.
Well, and the part, not to like spoil it, but when she sees the tattoo on his chest, it's like almost corny and cheesy, but that almost made it into This Love. That was almost going to be like, she sees it. That's why I started to lay the foundation and hint for it when she sees, you know, she mentions that she's seeing him for the first time without his shirt on all summer. And that was going to be like hidden on his inner bicep, so she hadn't seen it. And she sees it when he's reaching up for something in the cupboard and is like shook. But it didn't feel right there. So I wanted to find a place for that moment.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's almost like you don't think that's something Conrad would do. Like, Conrad just go get a tattoo.
Right,
yeah.
It would have had to be, like, very, very drunk night, you know, with his buddies. Let me get a tattoo, or, like, a dare he lost or something like that. But it makes that infinity symbol, like, more permanent than the necklace. So I did like it. Okay, that's all I'm going to talk about for that. That's great. Keep going, because I don't want to spoil for Vicky, even though she's going to read it in 5 minutes. But, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on here and talking to us, and obviously for, like, putting it out there. But
yes, thank you.
As huge fans of The Summer I Turned Pretty, and then now with lack of things to talk about, like, this is something that we talk about all the time. So,
yeah, thank you guys for having me and letting me ramble here today. Like I said, I could talk about it endlessly, forever. It lives rent free in my mind. So thank you for letting me ramble.
Infinitely, if we shall say.
There you go.
All right. Well, guys, thank you as always for checking out the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed this bonus episode, and we'll see you next time.